listening to Cannabis Radio News' exclusive coverage of Vote 2016, The Path to Cannabis Freedom, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 32 after the hour, and for our marijuana election night coverage, we've got a special guest joining us from California Normal. It's Ellen Comp on the line. Ellen, how are you doing?
Great, Russ. How are you?
I'm fantastic. So glad to have you here. And of course, everybody is looking at California as the big prize. Prop 64 is on the ballot to legalize. It's getting a lot of national attention, but kind of falling under the radar on the national scene is just how much there is being voted on marijuana in California at the local level. And I was hoping maybe you could run that down for us and maybe give us some highlights.
Sure. Well, according to the Orange County Register, there are 62 local ballot measures in 25 counties. I'm up to verifying 52 of them in 23 counties, I think. They're all over the place and they're all over the map. Some are taxing retail, some are taxing cultivation, some both, some are taxing medical, some recreational, some both, some of them at different rates. Unlike Colorado's Measure 64, there's no cap in AMA, Prop 64 in California, on what locals can tax. In Colorado, it's 3%. And the reform CA measure that Cal Normal participated in writing in capped it at 5%. But it's going to be a free-for-all, I guess, if AMA passes in November. And we've seen in the past that whenever a taxation measure is on a local ballot, it's pretty much got 100% chance of carrying it. Even in places that didn't vote for Prop 19 in 2010, they didn't want to legalize it, but they wanted to tax it if it was legal. So we're actually concerned in a few places, at least, where it seems like taxation could, kill the golden ganja goose, right? Like Santa Barbara, for example, is recommending a 20% tax. Now, this is going to be on top of the 15% tax that's in AMA at the state level, plus a $9.25 tax per ounce. On top of the state sales tax, which is 7% or more, depending on the jurisdiction. Now, medical marijuana patients would be exempt from the state or the sales tax if they they just have a card, an ID card, which is voluntary at this point. We're going to hope to push for more tax relief for medical marijuana patients, at least. And eventually, we think it'll shake out that places that are putting too high taxes. I mean, one place wants to put a $50 per square foot tax, and they said it was they wanted it to be prohibitive.
Yeah.
Humboldt County and Lake County are looking for a $1 to $3 per square foot tax, depending if it's indoor, outdoor, or mixed light. And that's, obviously a lot more reasonable and welcoming to cannabis businesses. So it's really crazy. Some places have two or three measures on the ballot, a couple by voter initiative, like, say, in Long Beach. And then the city councils can put a tax measure on the ballot, too. They can't tax without a vote. So if they want to tax, they're going to have to take it to the voters. And so voters in a lot of these places are going to have to decide, whether they want legalization, to be in effect in their city. And if so, if they want to tax it, then at what rate?
It's interesting. Oregon here, where I'm calling you from, we also have that limit of 3% that you can apply as a local tax. And in Oregon, and now, I'm covering Massachusetts as well, and their initiative has a very low tax rate. And a lot of these people are saying, a lot of these analysts are saying, we got to keep the tax rate somewhat low, or else you defeat the purpose of legalization. The unregulated market sales can continue and undercut those taxes. Are these locals, they're doing these taxations, it sounds like, as a way to basically kind of dissuade cannabis businesses from establishing themselves there and cannabis sales to happen. But do they note these unintended consequences?
It's only been in a couple of cases where they're actually punitive. A lot of people seem to think there's sort of an unlimited amount of you know, profit in marijuana. And of course, it's not really the case. Some have estimated the sweet spot for taxation might be around 25%, and already Alma pretty much has been a tax at that level. So if you start adding, you know, 20% or something, you're getting upwards to, you know, 45% taxation. I mean, that obviously is going to fuel a black market, we think.
Yeah.
And it will defeat the purpose of legalization, and you'll just getting the same people arrested for participating in the black market, which we want to end, and et cetera. As well as, you know, the other public safety, environmental issues and everything, you know, because, you know, now we're going to also have, we have a whole regulation layer coming on top, which I'm sure, you know, the other states have seen as well. I'm on my way into a California Department of Agriculture meeting about medical marijuana cultivation. The State Water Board is also holding hearings around the state, as is the Department of Public Health, who's got purview over the you know, dispensaries and packaging and testing labs and things like that. So all of these are going to have licensing fees, you know, on top of the taxes as well.
Yeah. So there's going to be a lot to have to deal
with.
You know, and this is, I find, of all, you know, no initiative out there for legalization of marijuana has ever passed my muster, but my muster is legal for everyone 18 and older, and you get a free pound on your birthday. So there's always there's always a problem with some initiative. To me, the problem with Prop 64 is that taxation part. I'm kind of disappointed in establishing a tax that has to be paid by medical cannabis patients. And one of the things we learned here in Oregon when we passed our Measure 91 is we had attached to it a harvest tax, a per ounce tax that we later analyzed and realized, well, wait a minute, as the price of weed falls, that tax becomes bigger and bigger in relation to what you're harvesting. How are these lessons not picked up in Prop 64? And assuming it passes, how can we go about fixing these problems?
Well, I think, you know, regulation is going to be costly, and so there was, you know, there were taxes put in there to help with it. The good news is that Prop 64 allows for certain sections of it, including the taxation section, to be amended by a simple majority in the legislature, which, you know, we have a fairly liberal legislature. And so they can be adjusted. And I think that they will be. I think it'll be hard, though, for the legislature to adjust local taxes, because there's a lot of pressure in Sacramento for local control and local, you know, to let the locals do whatever they want. And so after the fact, I think it's going to be pretty hard to put that genie back in the bottle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think the market forces will help, because people simply won't set up cannabis businesses in places where the taxation is too prohibitive. And, you know, that's too bad for the patients who live there, of course, and the other people who live there. So, you know, if we open up the recreational market, that could be a boon. You know, I still hear from a lot of people who want to come to California and try medical marijuana, and they can't unless they have a doctor's recommendation. We don't have any reciprocity, even with any other state's medical programs here in California, because we were the first to pass it, and we didn't really think that far ahead, I guess. because that was 1996, so 20 years ago. Yeah, there weren't all these other states with medical programs as well. There's going to be a lot of shaking out. We're going to have to work really hard to keep the small player alive. There are a lot of provisions in the medical marijuana law that passed last year, MRSA, or now it's MCRSA, they changed marijuana to cannabis, that prevent vertical integration or too big farms. The MRSA and AMA allow for half-acre farms, but AMA has a provision that in 5 years you're going to be able to have an unlimited amount of cultivation, and they have that in there in case by that time there's a nationwide market and we have to have larger farms to compete somehow with, you know, other states that are doing that. So we'll have 5 years to decide whether to keep that in or whether the legislature can amend that as well. The Department of Agriculture just did a poll and found out, you know, at least I think it was about 2,000 people are going to try to apply for state licenses. Calaveras County, which is a small county, just had 800 people apply for cultivation licenses. We were just up in Trinity County, which is in the Emerald Triangle, and they're actually talking about having a moratorium on the larger half-acre licenses for at least 2 years and just allow people to sort of start at a smaller level with fewer impacts and show that they're, you know, going to be environmentally responsible and things like that before they allow larger licenses. And I think that might be a good idea in a lot of places. So it's, you know,
a lot we're going to have to do over the next few years, for sure. With these,
I know people say to me, oh, well, when marijuana is legal, normal won't have any work. It's like, oh, no, we're going to have much more work than we ever did before because we still have to advocate that it's applied fairly. And, you know, I didn't work all these years for legalization to just say, but like a handful of corporations benefit, you know, I want everyone to. So as well as, you know, I think one reason that California and probably Oregon marijuana is so good is because of the cottage industry that's been so strong, the strains that have been built up and the practices and everything and the kind of back to lander movement. And I don't want to see it all be kind of what we call warehouse weed, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a place for indoor, I guess, but I never really anticipated that indoor would be a factor once we legalized it. But, of course, now there's the technology is so there and people are so interested in indoor, and of course a lot in the urban areas and the warehouses, and
yeah.
Some places are only allowing greenhouses instead of, they don't want to see it outdoors, neighbors don't want to see it or smell it, and so there's still some issues even though it's quote going to be quote legal.
Well, Ellen Comp with California Normal, we've got about a minute and a half. Before we go, I want to make sure that people know to look up canormal.org, canormal.org, to get all the latest on what's going on with these local initiatives. And Ellen, if you'd like, you know, give people some of your contact information. And yes, tell them about your new book as well.
yes, canormal.org is the place, and you can join our join CalNormal or join our email list. We're working on our new newsletter that's going to have the election guide in it, so if you join now, you'll get that in the mail. I wrote a book called Token Women that has your favorite token woman, Tallulah Bankhead, in it, and a lot of other women who, throughout history, who have been enjoyed cannabis or used it for healing and other things, and that's to, you know, we've always had a lower percentage of women voting in favor of legalization than men. I don't think they realize it's part of our culture too. And so that was my purpose in doing the book. And I have a blog called Token Woman and another one called Very Important Potheads, where I highlight some of these stories. And it's been fun and actually really seems to open a lot of eyes to what marijuana really could be instead of the stereotypes about it.
That's right. It's a great read. I recommend Token Women. I recommend it highly. Of course, I do most everything highly. Ellen Comp from California Normal. It's going to be an exciting marijuana election night, and I want to thank you for everything California Normal's doing to educate people on these issues and make sure everyone gets out there and votes. We'll talk to you again sometime later on this election season, I'm sure, because there's going to be plenty to talk about.
Fantastic.
Thanks
so much,
Ellen,
for all you do.
You betcha. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
All right. Stay tuned, folks. When we come back, we'll have time for a radical rant where I have to make an apology. I do. Sometimes I go off and sometimes I need to rein myself in. We're going to do a little reining in when we come back.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.